Now I'm going to tell you something else interesting over here. That you know, the salt and halacha and all that stuff. That's at Mishmar. What I'm going to share with you is the Sefer Yalkut Ruveni brings from the Zohar. Listen to this. The Zohar says the reason why the Aleph in Vayikra is small. We all know that the Aleph in Vayikra is small. I don't know if you all know it, but if you look in the Sefer Torah, so the first word and the first pasuk of Sefer Vayikra, the word is Vayikra, and the Aleph in the end of Vayikra is small. So there's many different mafarshim as pirushim as to why it's small. The most famous one is that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to say Vayikra Hashem or Moshe, that Hashem called out to him. He wanted to write Vayokar, which is much more like random. Vayokar Hashem, Hashem like the randomly spoke to him. So therefore he wrote it small, kind of like out of his anivus and his piety. But the Zohar says something else. The Zohar says, Lama Aleph Zeira, why is the Aleph small? Mishum de Moshe hayashalem b'chol tzad. Moshe was complete in all different ways, in all different facets. Rak chisaron ma'at hayulo, he had a very small chisaron. Lefi shapiresh me'ishtai, because he was purged from his wife. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that he didn't have a family life like most people did. He was purged from his wife Tzipora, and that was part of actually the whole story of Tzipora, of Miriam, that she spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe. And it seemed like what Moshe did was actually not necessarily inappropriate for who he was. He was supposed to be Parash Me'ishtoi because he spoke Pe'al Peh. But still, it was something that was not Shalim about Moshe Rabbeinu. So the question that there is to ask, and I saw this pshat in the Sefer Eitzer Pelois HaTorah, he brings down the Zohar. And the question is, why is it particularly over here? At the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Kodesh Baruch Hu has spoken to Moshe many times up until now. And there's a lot of opportunity for us to make some sort of indication to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was Parash Me'ishtai. Why is it in Sefer Vayikra, of all places, in the Pasuk of Adam, Ki Yakrev Mikem Karban Lashem? So listen, there's something very interesting over here. There's another Zohar, and I'm going to try to pull it together. The other Zohar is Adam is a reference to someone who's married. Adam ki yakriv mikem karban says the Zohar that only married people are supposed to be makriv karbanis, which is interesting. I don't think this is brought in halacha anywhere, but it's brought down that maybe that's the reason why Nadav and Avihu, they had their tragic end, because Nadav and Avihu were not married, and they were makriv karbanis even though they weren't married. So I want to try to understand, what is this idea that a person that's not married can't be makriv a korban? But perhaps that's very much connected to this that we're speaking about, that it says that Moshe Rabbeinu's aleph was small because he was parish me'ishtai. That's why, particularly in this pasuk, and perhaps the pshat is as follows. The yisoid of a korban is a sacrifice. And my friends, those of you that are married, it's for sure important for you to know this. And those of you that are not yet married, so it's something that to know about what your mentality should be going into marriage. Marriage is a sacrifice. Rav Volba writes about this extensively in his Kuntres Chasanim. Marriage is a sacrifice. We think we're going into marriage in order to have fun, but in truth, marriage is a lot of sacrificing. And a person that has a healthy marriage, so he understands what it means to sacrifice. And for that reason, he's capable of bringing a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because in his life, he's experienced sacrifice. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, did a lot for other people. He did a lot, and he was willing to give up his life. But there was one nekuda, one area where Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the opportunity of sacrifice, and that was in the area of having a regular family unit. Because the biggest sacrifice a person makes often is in his home. You know, we say chesed starts at home, so sacrifice also starts at home. And what I said over from my mother, she should be well. One of her favorite Divrei Torah is when we speak about the mezuzah on the front door. It's very interesting why we put a mezuzah on a slant. Why do we put a mezuzah on a slant? So the reason that's brought down is because there's a machlokes in halacha to whether or not your mezuzah should be straight up like this, or it should be flat. So what do? We kind of like make a pshara. We make some sort of, compromise. And we do it on a slant. That's very interesting because we are in general very decisive people. And we usually say it's either this way or that way. So why in this case is the one time that Minig Yisrael is to compromise? So my mother should be well. She says, oh, when you come into your house, person has to know it's going to take a lot of compromising or sacrificing. Now, that's the way it is to build. That's the way that we build a Jewish home, is with a lot of compromise. So therefore, we understand that means a sacrifice, that a person has to compromise his position and sometimes compromise on different comforts. And it's not a question of my way or the highway. And that's perhaps why Moshe Rabbeinu, who was for sure a tremendous tzaddik, and what he did by not living with his wife, perhaps it was called for, it seems like, under the circumstances. But still, he wasn't given the opportunity to show that he was capable of living that type of life. It wasn't shalom b'chol tzad, didn't have that situation of compromise in his married life. Sometimes you hear about people that they're people of big chesed, they do tremendous chesed, but in their own personal life, they had challenges with their relationships at home. Because this is the ultimate compromise, the ultimate sacrifice is a sacrifice within a relationship. So perhaps this is the message that we're sharing over here, the importance of sacrifice. And that's why this is such an important parasha, and all these parashas. So we speak about karbanos, and in what way are karbanos relevant for us? The answer is a person has to give a sacrifice to Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's certain times that we would like to see things go a certain way, and we're willing to take to accept that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, it's not going to go our way, and we're going to compromise, and we're going to say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm going to give this one for you. This is my offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kilu, B'makabel B'simcha, B'makabel B'ahava, when things don't go exactly the way that we want them to go. And Be'ez Hashem, and that's Chus, will be Zoicha, that HaKadosh Baruch will help us to bring the physical Karbanos, the real Karbanos, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. We should be Zoicha to see the Beis HaMikdash B'karach, B'yameinu, B'mheira, B'yameinu, Amen, my friends. We are going to be doing the, you could say Amen?
Amen.
Great. We're going to be doing the shir on melach. We do a shir on salt, which we're going to reference this a little bit. After the shir, we hope to have some short words about Avram Yishai Gruskin, who got married a few nights ago. He didn't have any guests at his wedding, so therefore, we're making like a quasi Sheva Brachas on Zoom after the Mishmar. He was one of the big stalwarts of Mishmar. So for that reason, you know, it's very appropriate. It should happen after Mishmar, and I try to get that information out. But either way,
8 p.m.
Mishmar, we're going to be speaking about 8 p.m. is the Mishmar. We're going to be speaking about kind of salt, how about salt on your table, different minhagim of salt, and salt on the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, that's the makar of it. I'm looking forward to having all of you. If I don't speak to you then, my dear friends, have a great Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.